Are you in Brisbane and looking for Brisbane's largest range of premium aerosols? Crush City was established in 2010 to provide a great retail space and the best quality materials and equipment for every occasion, with heavy stocks of Montana cans, Ironlac, Bez, Loop and Molotow. To find out more, including opening times and deliveries, get at the team at crushcity.com.au or get at the team via Crush City Fame on Instagram, or head into the shop at 423 Ipswich Road, Annerley. Crush City are proud sponsors of Beers, Beats and the Biz.
Doors closing. Please stand clear.
420 Superstore are one of Australia's largest providers of 420 cultural giftwares and paraphernalia. Their product range includes a wide variety of items, from dried herb aromatherapy devices, rolling and cutting supplies, herbal extraction devices, hydroponic grow equipment, to candy, carver, and clothing. Open at their brick and mortar location at the Hooper Centre, Toowoomba, Queensland, and online at 420superstore.com.au. From seed to satisfied, 420 Superstore has everything you need. Visit 420superstore.com.au today. 420 Superstore are official sponsors of Beers, Beats and the Biz. Support businesses supporting us.
You want to know the real deal? Here it is. You're tuned in to Beers, Beats and the Biz.
All right, check it out. This is the Beers, Beats and the Biz podcast, back in effect for another week. Big shouts to Crush City. Big shouts to the 420 Superstores. Shouts to Illegal Merch. If you want to support this podcast, if you want to listen to this podcast, head over to Spotify. You can watch this shit over there. What's the other one? iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Find us at Beers, Beats the Biz on social media. Man, if you're not fucking with this podcast, you are not fucking around at all. You are fucking around. Yeah, buy a t-shirt too, you motherfuckers, you cheap motherfuckers. Go buy a t-shirt. Head to our bizbeatsandthebiz.com. Buy a t-shirt. Support the podcast. Help us out. Because we're out here, we're doing this shit week after week. And yeah, we, once again, watch it on Spotify, rate, subscribe, all that sort of shit. And man, listen, I'm joined. Man, actually, for the first time in 120-something episodes, we have a return guest. And we have another friend here for the first time. Yeah, just bring that mic around, Biggie. Bring those around, bring those mics around. Man, we are live and direct with the one and only Bigfoot and Royals, Melbourne Direct.
What's up?
Yeah, boys, it's good to have you back. Biggie, good to have you back for, the first time in a long time. You know how we do, man. It's taking a minute. But Royals, dude, up here in Queensland.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, first holiday in what, 3-4 years or something?
Yeah, man, first holiday since New York in 2018 or something.
Oh, shit.
It's been a long time.
Jack's got some New York stories.
You want to hear some NY stories? Let's trade. Was that your first trip or 2018? You went earlier than that too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I've been a few times, but that time I went, I did some music as well while I was up there. Yeah. Whereas before I just drank and partied every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. This time I actually had a goal in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make same with trip.
Yeah. Same with this trip here.
Yes.
You know, always relax, but also try to do something else.
Musically.
Or, you know, whatever.
Do keep that shit moving.
Yeah, man.
And what are you doing while you're up? Is there anything we can talk about?
There is. So, right now I'm working on a production album. So, sort of like a follow up to Live 95, but not really.
Yep.
In the sense that, I'm doing all the beats and it's all different to MCs, except this time I flipped it. So it's mostly US MCs and just a handful of Aussies.
Just a smidgen, just a sprinkling of Australians.
Sprinkling, yeah. So while I'm up here, catch up with Biggie and do the film clip. So that'll be the third clip, probably drop around time this episode drops maybe.
Hopefully
the album will be actually out by this by the time the episode comes
when,
out.
When's the album due?
May. No, sorry. It's already May. June 15th.
Probably won't be too far.
I should actually check that.
Probably won't be too far off when this episode drops. Actually, line this episode up to drop with that.
Oh, word.
You know, for sure. 100%. But you've worked with a ton of US MCs, man. How is it making those connects over there?
Well, the internet's made it a lot easier.
True.
You know, you don't have to fly your ass over there and, you know.
Yeah.
Catch people on the street or whatever, however they used to do it back in the day.
But man, dude, you run into fucking rappers in that city, dude. You know, or catch them at gigs and shit like that. It's something else.
Well, the first time I went, like 10 years ago, I had to, I was thinking, I'd see people all the time just walking down the street. Nah, bro.
Not quite. But,
New York's huge.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. So you have to actually make connections before you head over there.
Yeah.
and catch up with people.
Did you get any gigs though while you were there?
I saw GZA the first time I was there.
Mm.
But the last time I went there, I missed out. There was West Side Gun was playing at a Wale gig.
Fuck.
And I totally missed it because he only put on the Fourth Rope Instagram page.
And I
don't really follow wrestling anymore. I used to back in the day.
Yeah.
So I missed out on it. So I missed out on seeing West Side Gun.
Yeah. But you were talking about forging those connections before you left anyway. So you're forging some connections with some USMCs.
Yeah. So, you know, I was trying to, I met up with this dude called Rome Streets. Back then,
mm.
It was probably a bit lesser known back then, but super dope, still super dope. And met up with him because we were actually working on that album. So we were actually halfway through an album by the time I saw him. And so I went there to meet him and, you know, try to do a film clip and everything like that.
Yeah.
And then finished off the album and then the drama ensued after that.
Dude, you were filling this in kind of off air and I didn't know much about it. Is there anything you wish to speak on? Do you want to talk on it?
Well, usually I mean,
it's no bad blood or anything, is it? You know?
Well, maybe on his behalf. But for me, I'm quite a private person, so yeah. I don't like to air my things publicly. So a lot of people have heard his side of the story, but I haven't really spoken about my side of the story. So
give us a scoop, brother. Scoop.
So basically, I don't know how long ago, it was like 5 years ago or something, I hit him up and said, let's do an album. So he said he was a fan back then.
Yep.
So we, you know, so showed him some beats, made a deal on, you know, on financials, and then we started working on it. And it took him a bit less than a year.
Mm.
And so the way I do it is I usually like send out a bunch of like skeleton beats, ideas, loops, things like that. They record on it, I get it back, and then I finish off the beat. So I customize the beat around the vocals. That's usually the way I work.
Mm.
And so completed it and then got it mixed, got it mastered by the end of 2020, I think it was, like that.
Yeah.
And then showed the artwork. He's like, when I showed him the artwork, because I usually do my own artwork, so I was working on the artwork. It took me a couple months after everything was already mastered. And then I goes, oh, nah, we can't put it out yet. I'm about to get signed. So I'm like, all right, what's that got to do with this album, you know? Because it's a different sort of deal. But, you know, I respected his request and just kept postponing it. So it just kept postponing to like 2022.
Fuck me,
So like, what's that?
4 years of fucking around.
Well, Well,
2 years.
Two years.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, I'll try it again. Let's put it out. And by this stage, he was signed to Griselda.
Yeah, right.
So we're sort of blowing up a little bit more. And so he said, I don't want you to put it out. I'd rather give you your money back, whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right. But never gave you the money back. So I was like, all right. So I kept hold of it. And then one day I just got sick of it. And I was like, you know what? I just want to put it out there.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time, money and effort on that album. I think it's a good album personally.
Yeah.
So I put it out there. And then what happened was he hit me up and said, you got to take it down. His manager hit me up, said I got to take it down. I didn't know who his manager was because he had changed managers since. Because I knew him from, you know, a few years before that.
Yeah.
threatened me with legal action.
Fuck.
So it wasn't until one of his colleagues, but like his circle sort of hit me up and said, you shouldn't be doing this, you know. I thought, you know what, I'll take it down. So I took it down. Still out there.
You can
still see it. I mean, hear it. It's on YouTube and you know, the Hip Hop Bootleggers or whatever you need. If you want to find it, it's out there. I've only had good feedback from it.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's given his side of the story and that's my side of the story. So
yeah.
It's out there now.
So they threatened legal action for you to take it down.
Yeah.
You would have had intentions of pressing it, I presume, and doing the whole, you know, the whole run,
you know,
making it a thing, but they refused to allow you that.
Yeah. So it didn't get that far.
Yeah.
So I hadn't even thought about that yet. I just sort of wanted to give it out. I gave it.
So didn't even make it to that sort of stuff.
No, no. I just put it out for free. So I put it out for free. People can download it, whatever. I was just sort of over it at that stage. I just wanted it out there, and then I move on to the next project.
Yeah.
And then, so I did get an email from the legal department or whatever, but it was already down by that stage, so I didn't really have to worry about it. Had to take it down off for all our streaming, took it down off Bandcamp, but it's still out there. Maybe one day I'll release the instrumentals or something.
Something
like that, but
rework it.
For me personally, that part of the that's over now. Like I sort of gotta take that L and move on, and so that's the new album.
What had changed in that camp between you working with Conway and then working with fucking Rome Streets?
A lot has changed for Griselda.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. Like,
absolutely, man.
When I was working, when I did the track with Conway, he was like, he had like 2,000 followers on Instagram. So it was like lesser known.
Yeah.
Still super, super dope, but way lesser known now. I don't know.
Yeah,
how many followers these dudes got now?
Man, they got like Rock Nation cosigns, fucking Shady Aftermath cosigns, like all kinds.
Benny's killing it. Yeah. Like they're all killing it. Fucking good on them.
Well, they actually got signed to Shady, didn't they? And then I think they were managed through Rock Nation or something like that. Or no Biggie.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No
you
idea.
Don't follow them? For like Griselda sort of shit.
I like Conway, but I'm not really.
Benny can fuck. Benny's a dope rapper. I remember when I first heard Fly God Man, like I was blown away by that shit, you know, like cause it was just some shit. It was like left of center. It was almost like some MF Doomy type shit, like production wise, but lyrically was still on some hard, tough shit. But then he's like, you know, like he'll throw in random references to Supreme and fucking a pair of Jordans or some shit like that. That's kind of what I liked about it. That's how it appealed to me. Mm. And then there was the list of guests, you know, like when I first heard that dude, I heard him on a Sky Zoo single. He was on the chorus and I just thought he was a whiny sound and that's West Side Gun.
Oh, yeah. I
heard Conway after
I never dug him. I like Conway.
Yeah.
Tubac put me on to Conway ages ago.
Yeah. Buck was right onto that.
And a lot of NBA references and
for real.
Things up our alley, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think Royals got onto a lot of that stuff early, you know, got onto Conway and Rock Marciano and all these people before they sort of got big, you know?
Yeah, because Conway, I suppose, comes off the back, like, you know, the blog era. You hear a bit of talk about the blog era now, like Rock Marcy was fucking big through the blog era.
Yep.
And then I suppose that sort of died off pre the Griselda thing, and Griselda have kind of carried that wave. Mm. I don't know, or just ridden that wave.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, how have you found your dealings with people like that? Oh, dude, you got fucking Primo on your leg and shit. I just noticed.
Yeah, this is my my hip-hop leg.
That's the hip-hop leg.
Or the producer leg,
Yeah. What's that, RZA at the bottom?
RZA at the bottom, and I got Rock Marcy on the underside.
Work. Yeah, so you're clearly a fan.
Oh, yeah.
You got the blood sport. Blood sport on the thighs.
Blood sport.
You watch out. It's the last thing you'll see.
The new album's called Blood Sport, that's a reference to that. But
yeah, so he's really dedicated to it. You know what I mean?
Straight up, clearly. Yeah.
If you ever see me wearing Muay Thai shorts, like with them all pulled up like that, you gotta watch it.
You mean business card? Well, across the road. But you know the relationships you formed. I mean, you know, working with Smooth. Those dudes. Like, I caught on to those dudes early too, man. When I was going through your catalog, I was just like, fuck, you working with Smooth. Like, I remember hearing, was it him that did the, he did like something called 96 Hove or some shit? I'm pretty sure it was Smooth Calhoun. Husk Kingpin, Rosewood.
Yeah, those dudes. Yeah.
Those dudes, yeah. Smooth Calhoun.
Yeah. So they're in the crew together, those guys.
That's right, yeah.
Through Husk Kingpin. So I've been listening to Husk for a while.
Yeah.
And then he did a joint album with Smooth.
Mm.
Splash Brothers. It was like a free EP sort of thing. And then I heard, I was like, wow, this guy's fucking super dope. So hit him up. And then we built this relationship. And Smooth is actually a nice guy.
Sick, yeah.
Which is rare to find with American MCs. I found in my... In the past, but he's super, super dope. So like I did the same thing. I hit him up and built that sort of relationship as much as you can online.
Yeah, of course.
And it's all about like if he gels with your beats, like you can be anyone, you can hit up anyone and they may or may not do it depending on, you know, if they just want money or if they want to create, you know, something good. So if they're not gelling with your beats, you know, they might not do it. So.
Yeah.
We sort of that China White album that I did with him, which sort of gelled really well, like the sort of smooth soul drumless beats that I was into at the time. Well, I'm still into them, but it just flowed really well with his flow.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite albums, man. One of those albums which is different from everyone else, because everyone's doing drums that are too loud for the sample and you know, things like that. So
so you took them out altogether.
I just took them out.
There's a wave of that shit going too, man. Like,
There was. But you know, it has to be the right sample. Yeah. The sample has to have rhythm in it. Yeah. If you're not going to have drums, you know, it's got to have a good bass line.
Yeah,
I find, and you can find that shit on anything like the,
of course,
the
Daryl Braithwaite, the horses,
anything, man, anything. The lead single from that album was off like an '80s Chinese record that I salvaged from the bin from my grandma's house.
Word.
And I couldn't. The record was whack.
Yeah.
But that 2-3-4 second sample, fire, man. So I just looped that shit up,
chopped
it a little bit, and that was that.
I want to get into your sampling, but Biggie, I got to ask you, drumless beats, man. Where are you with drumless?
I don't think he's a fan.
No. I don't think he's a fan, bro. Well, I've got to be honest, I haven't been a big fan either.
You've seen me recording, right?
Of course.
Do I whisper? Generally not.
No.
So I kind of need some drums.
Can you whisper?
So, so in order for me to stay on beat, I have my eardrums blown the fuck out, the headphone level like burning hot, and I kind of need drums to stay on beat.
Yeah.
You know, I've done things in the past where you hear it, it's drumless, but I was recording on drums, so I could
Are we talking about the Len 1 thing? That was kind of drumless in
a way. No, I just rapped over that how it was. That was drumless. That was just a loop off a Stanley Clark record. Yep.
Kind of ahead of its time, dude, that joint.
Well, you know.
It's an amazing fucking track. Do you know what we're talking about? Off Len 1's Beats Back Borrowed a Stolen. Anyone out there, you can find it on YouTube. It is an amazing fucking song.
Yeah, so that was more of a thing with Lenny because he was just doing, you know, he loves old records and whatnot.
What's it called, just for people listening?
The song? I don't know.
Was it called Stolen? No, it's called Sleep
Bagged?
Or something?
Maybe Bagged?
Nah, Bagged is one of your other joints, isn't it?
No, I think
The Bagged. Bagged, sorry.
But everything's called like Bagged, Borrowed.
Something like that.
So I think it's Bagged.
Reference
to Bagged.
Worth listening to.
But yeah, so look, I love drums. You know, I love dirty drum loops. I love, you know, old, crusty sounding drums.
Fucking A.
But, you know, there's a time and place. You don't want to make the same an album that's the same the whole way through either, you know. So if you're still making albums, people aren't just doing digital singles. You know, you want some variety, you want some ups and downs, you want some, you know, some motivational, you want a song to get the Kleenex out and cry on the pillow, whatever you're doing, you know. Like, you need different vibes, man. It's a journey, you know.
Of course, Of course. Is that how you see it too, Royce?
Yeah, man, big time. You gotta be taken on the journey through an album. Can't be exactly the same the whole way through.
But when you're approaching something like, because, man, like I said, when you walked in, that DFOG's joints, like, you know, the DFOG shit with Angus Younger and all that sort of thing, man. Big shout out to Angus. He's dope, man. Dude's dope.
Oh,
you know, like, when you're approaching.
Team Boss.
Team Boss, dude. I've got to talk about that later.
What is it?
Team Boss.
That's our basketball team.
Oh, can't listen. Don't worry. Right. You see this? Don't worry.
We'll get to that.
Basketball team is here. It's written.
I should have brought the trophies in, actually.
Should have worn the medal.
Yeah, man.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, we've got two rings. Yeah. Anyway, we'll touch on that later.
Later.
That can be the apex of the episode, man.
That's the episode arc right there. That's the arc. But yeah, no, like, you know, approaching something with fucking Angus versus approaching something with Smooth. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, what's the fucking, is it much of a muchness? Is it sort of the same kind of thing?
I sort of actually go through phases when I'm making beats. So like at that stage, it was like COVID. Well, about the DFOG's one. So it was during COVID and I just happened to be on this 80s fucking funk soul, pop.
Just
80s shit, man.
Yeah.
And Biggie knew, I was sending him heaps of shit.
Yeah.
And I just happened to send them to Angus. He's like, fuck yeah, let's do something.
Yeah.
And so I sent him a bunch of them and I was just making the 80s shit. He was feeling it. I was sampling off cassettes and everything, man. Yeah. And you know, I had to learn how to, you know, make that 80s snare, you know, with the massive gated reverb and shit like that. Yeah. So like making different styles of beats, like even experimenting with them, just like it helps you learn new shit that you can apply to your other beats.
Yeah.
And so that's what I like doing. So at that stage I was making that 80s synthy feel good fucking it is, beats, man. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I still love it.
Yeah, yeah, straight up. Yeah, and it kind of caters to that dude's energy too.
Exactly. You know? And at that time, we talk a lot of shit, you know, when you're mates with someone, you talk shit, and we were talking about like, you know, being fly, but not having the money to do so. So you gotta work on the budget, yeah, you know? So yeah, like we used to go to DFO a lot. So yeah. You guys have got a DFO here apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We've got him here now. Yeah. 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 But I can tell you, dude, the first time I ever went to a DFO was this man sitting here.
There
took
you
me to the one down on Smith Street, Nike store.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember, I'd never seen anything fucking like it. You took me an oath down there.
Oh, it used to be great.
It was amazing.
I used to get the size 15s, like you know, $30 Hirachis and all that.
Yep.
But now, it's all
it's over.
It's
not a factory outlet. It's just another retail store at this point, you know.
I remember you took me there once, man, and
yeah, you guys come down. You need puffer jackets. You hop off the plane, in Bintang singlets or Bronco shorts or whatever's going on. And I need to take you there for the goose down jackets,
for the bubble gooses and all that sort of shit. But this motherfucker, dude, we walk in there, man, there's walls of Dunks. I remember Biggie takes in there. I'm just like, what the fuck? Mm. And this is like, man, like, you know, Dunks that were on that wall then selling for, you know, retailing, you know, outletting for fucking 60, 70 bucks.
Yeah, they're probably Jordan 1s. No.
Bro, man, Jordan 1s, Jordan 2s.
These old sneakers.
Like, I seen fucking the Barcelona 7s. I saw Detroit Pistons 6s all in Melbourne when Biggie take, like, you know, anytime we came down, and I've got distinct memories of them, memories seeing Gucci Dunks. Mm. Just like, fuck, man, these are like fucking probably $1,000 shoes now. And they were on those shelves, man, what, 2004, 5, 6, 7, through those years?
It was better in the 90s. I think progressively went downhill.
Yeah.
Because we didn't knew about it. It just sort of got rinsed.
Yeah. You know, and here in Brisbane, we didn't have a man. So our first one, like, you know, Biggie's taken to us, we're like, what the fuck? Mm. And then maybe in the years following, one opens on the Gold Coast. Right. So we get the Nike store on the Gold Coast. Then we get the one, I think, Jindalee, the airport. Shit like that. But yeah, this dude here takes us to Smith Street, pick us up, fucking go have something to eat, boom, 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 maybe grab some drinks, and then, you know, we'll go check out Smith Street.
Yeah, well, that's shut down.
It's all dead now.
Gentrified and apartments and things, so that's further out.
Yeah.
Bundura, I don't know if you come out.
Yeah, you took us out there too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. That's it's moved out there. Yeah.
That was out near where you were living or something.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. For a while. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I always got to be near the spots to check them out.
Dude, that's where I got
those driving jobs, you know, like just drive around. Oh, there's a lot of traffic, and I'll just stop and check that shop.
Yeah, bro, yeah. No, you took us there, and I think it was me and Chubba that time, and I got those No-So 95s. So it was the Neon 95, but it was the No-So. It was the ones that didn't have the stitching on it or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, fuck, it was a dope shoe, man. It was like, you know, I was copping the Neon 95, but just without the No-So. I was fucking stoked. Mm. Anytime we went to Melbourne, man, those DFOs, you know, and then I remember I'd come down Nardi or something like that, and just be like, fuck, it's on. We got to go to those fucking outlets, man. It was always good. Yeah. Always good.
I was always close to there, so always dropping in, you know, just on the off chance something's there.
But yeah, that's it. That's it. But yeah, like, you know, when you're working with, I mean, even the fucking dude, the Grime Productions thing, you know, all your joints that are coming, or is that what you're releasing most of your music through?
Yeah, yeah. It's all, all my
and that's used Angus. That's like some of your rigorous boys, too.
It's his label.
Oh, that's your label. Yeah,
yeah. It's my label, so it's basically just
CEO, the Godfather.
Bam.
Big boss. It's just me and Angus pretty much.
Okay.
And we just released an album, production album from this dude, Bryzone.
Okay.
Yep. He's like sort of like from the lo-fi sort of group of producers, but he's different. Like he's more soulful, like he's a little bit cleaner. He did a production album with, you know, like a bunch of Aussies, bunch of American MCs and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good album. And
who's on that?
1-6, Tamson P.
Who's it? Chester P.
Tamson P.
Tamson P.
From Ill Format.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Right.
Sick.
Yep. Verbs.
Yep.
Nelson Dialect.
Yep.
That's
a good song you got with Nelson, man. That fucking join? Access. Oh, no, fuck. I even wrote it down. Except Greatness.
That was my one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's your one. Yeah.
That was really good. I had always wanted to work with Dialect.
Fuck, your style is ideal for that kind of.
Yeah. It's actually the first batch of beats that I sent him, he didn't actually like them.
Yeah.
So I waited a few months. Yeah. I was like on a beat making spree back. Well, I always am, but back then I was making shitloads. This is for the Live 95 era.
Yeah.
And I sent him another batch, and he picked that one, and it's completely different to what I thought he was gonna pick.
It's one
of those things, like, as a producer, like, I think this beat's gonna be sick,
yeah,
and everyone's gonna jump on it.
Yeah.
And then no one picks it.
That never works. Yeah,
that
man.
Never fucking.
People pick beats for me. It's like, nah.
Yeah,
nah.
Oh, dude, I
and
hear
the
you
ones
on this.
Don't give me like, man, why don't you give me that? Man.
Dude.
Yeah, there's other people with good beats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That I pick man, this for you. Like, I hear you on this. Bro,
yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think you sent me, I think in lead up to that, was it in lead up to the Live 95 or maybe something? Yeah, you sent me like a cachet of beats.
Yeah, yeah.
A ton of ideas. And I remember going through them and I'm just like, you know, like I just never eventuated, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I remember I think I spoke to you about it being, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like I send people beats that I think they'd like.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work out.
But you
that
do
way.
Have to cater, man, because if you're sending a fucking shit ton of fucking production to someone, man, you're just sending so many fucking ideas, man. It's just like, what do you go through? What do you hear? And then you hear four bars of something that you might feel is ideal, but oh, that's part of something. You know, like it's kind of like, you know, I get it.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
get it. You know?
Yeah. Well,
unless you're like Primo, who fucking, you know, supposedly has someone in the studio and he taps it there for
oh, yeah.
him, you know?
Yeah.
But I can't imagine he does that every fucking track. Not these days.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Who bloody knows?
Yeah, who knows?
But yeah, yeah, I'm getting better at picking the batch of beats to give to people.
Yeah,
it's just practice and...
Yeah. For sure. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Beats are getting better too. You know?
Well, yeah, I hope so. I hope they're getting better.
Exactly, man. The beats are getting so much better, dude. Like, you know, like just going through some of the stuff. All right, takes back to the Live 95, man, when you start sort of...
Yeah, well,
you know,
actually,
formulating that. And then, like, you know, the ethos around it, man. You're into video games. You're into basketball. You're into fucking, you know, culture in general.
Yeah. It's actually... Live 95 was like... the end goal to a 5-year plan that I had.
Okay.
So like back in the day, no one knew who I was. Mm. Like I put some stuff out. This guy, when I started playing ball with him, he didn't know who I was.
Yeah,
I was just some guy on his basketball team.
Yeah.
So I was like putting out a plan, which started with the Man vs. Machine mixtape series, the remix.
Yep.
So I had to come up with a plan to do something that someone else that hasn't been really done that much before. Mm. And I wanted to keep it local as well. So I did the Man vs. Machine series, which is remixing, you know, 10 to 18 Aussie tracks on my beats.
Remixes amongst them.
I did one of your tracks on the first one.
Really?
Get your lawyers on through, man.
I haven't heard it yet. I need to hear it.
Yeah.
I've been through a few. Like I heard the LC one.
Called Dennis DeNudo.
No, I heard a few. I've heard a few of them.
Yeah, yeah. So like I sort of use that as a platform to get known locally, so at least people knew who I was.
Yeah. Did you ever send it to me? Did I ever hear it?
I'm sure I would have sent it to. Yeah. I sent it to everybody. I released it for free, so I wasn't making money out of it.
Not a fucking thing.
But no, yeah, so I did.
Sued. we're about to get litigious in this bitch, motherfucker.
Spotify paying people. You gotta do something.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah, true.
I want my fucking. I want my 90 streams. The $1.50. Fuck, it's probably not even that. 32 cents or some shit.
Yeah, yeah, it's bad.
But yeah, sorry, man. You were fucking sending beats around.
Yeah, so I did three of those.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, I think it's fucking time to do something original, you know?
Yeah.
So I was just, I think I was playing like my actual Super Nintendo. Like I never had one as a kid. Mm. We couldn't afford one. I had the original Nintendo, but that was the last console my family ever bought. So I actually bought one off eBay and started playing that. And I was playing Live 95. I was like, I remember this fucking game.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
In high school, I had a copy of it on my PC because I was a PC PC nerd.
Yeah.
I was playing it and then I swapped it for a Glock 17 BB gun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a rap life, man. That's what's up.
This is like the greatest trade ever.
It was cool. Yeah. It was cool, but I ended up trading it back because I wanted Live 95 back.
Was there any bodies on it?
Yeah. Or servos, you know, anything? Bottle shops?
Yeah, because Live 95 is forever.
Rob the EB games.
So I had a history with that game.
Yeah.
I just fell into the theme of the sort of sound that I was making at the time. Sort of sounded like mid-90s sort of shit, like dirty drum breaks, dirty samples, loops and shit like that. And so that was the sound I was going for. So I decided to name it Live 95 because that was the era that I was inspired by to make that album.
Of course.
And I think it sounded pretty good. I mean,
bro.
It doesn't sound exactly like 1995. It's 1995 with a 2018 twist on it, you know what I mean?
Of course, of course.
But I was really proud of that album, man. It came out out pretty good, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so too.
But it was a headache to make.
Yeah?
Headache to make. When you're working with so many different people, you got to be like, you got to be financial planner.
Yeah.
You got to be a fucking motivational speaker.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be, you know, an accountant. You got to be all these different things to just to get bloody album done.
Yeah.
So after that album, I'm like, no, I'm not doing another production album again. And then I started working with individual MCs.
Yeah.
So that's when I did the China White with Smooth.
Yeah.
Did the Rome Streets album, which never came out. I did an album with Ty Farris from Detroit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The Road of a Warrior. Yeah.
And recent too.
Yeah, pretty recent. Yeah, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And then I did that album with Angus.
Mm.
And then the Rome Street stuff happened and I switched my gears and now I'm doing another production album.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, as a producer, as someone making beats, where do you see those beats landing? Like, do you see yourself, can you make something? Like, can you make some sort of orchestral type, soundtracky type shit, you know? Or do you see your production as landing with each, or, you know, with an MC and every time?
It's hard to say. Like, it depends what sort of mood I'm in or what sort of era I'm looking at when I'm when I'm looking for samples and stuff like that. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? My shit takes like 2 years to come out anyway, so who's gonna know?
Of course.
I mean, so once this Bloodsport album comes out, then after that, I got a Seven maybe coming out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, just definitely. Don't know when. It's with Bonesy at the moment, so who knows when it's gonna come out.
Oh, Bonesy Two Phones, what up?
Bonesy? Guaylo Gang in the house.
Guaylo Gang. What's the Guaylo Gang?
Guaylo is what Chinese people call foreigners.
Yeah, right.
And our HQ is the Expert Hotel in Chinatown.
If it's Bonesy, it's the
Expert. Says it all.
That's where we run operations.
Guaylo.
Well, it's Chinatown there as well.
Yeah.
Chinatown, yeah. So, what was I even talking about?
The Guaylo Gang.
Oh, Guaylo Gang, yeah. So, that's
being a dirty foreigner.
That's Rolls, Bonesy, and Cade.
Yeah.
What up, Cade?
What up, Cade?
Oh, what up, Cade?
Yeah, that's a little gang. We don't.
Bonesy's still drinking that pub down there. Wasn't he drinking in a pub in China?
Yeah, that's the headquarters.
That's the headquarters, man. Yeah. That's on the down. You can't tell the. Yeah. You know.
Don't tell him on the.
Yeah. The tens of thousands to tune into this. Beers, Beats, and the Biz. Week after week, they'll be hunting Bonesy Two Blades down. Bonesy Two Phones. But yeah, so what's that? The little crew that sent us around fucking Chinatown.
Yeah, little crew. We don't actually do any music or anything.
We don't do anything.
Wait for Bonesy to tell you he's mixing your shit. But what? So he's got his hands on the Seven at the moment. He's doing the mastering or something.
Mixing and mastering. We finished one track. Almost finished another track. And then,
redo some talk box stuff.
Just
a bit of funk, you know?
That sounds interesting already.
Something different,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of the old sort of Death Certificate kind of, you know?
Yeah.
A bit of funk with the Roger Troutman vibes on there, you know?
So this is, I mean, this hasn't been stipulated yet. It's a 7-inch. It's two tracks by these guys.
Yeah.
Raw's producing, Biggie on the mic.
If we do an album, I might have to get my lawyers involved. we'll stick to a Seven,
exactly. Not too much that needs to be removed from the internet, at very least, you know?
Yeah, like, I've heard stories about Raw's, man. Yeah, I don't know.
But, you know, how old are these joints now? Like, you've been sitting on them, been doing them?
Oh, those two are probably a year old.
Okay.
Just did a joint for the Raw's Bloodsport album. Which is newer. I was sitting on the beat for a while.
Yeah.
He was the last person to jump on Bloodsport. So I only had like 2 minutes, 20 or something. I was like, can you jump on something for two minutes?
Just bar out on this beat. And it's kind of not like what I usually do, the beat. But it's like
funky
though. It's like some soulful but slow kind of thing, you know. But it's barring out. I do, pretend I know about MMA and stuff. I googled a bunch of shit.
It's fire.
I'll tell you, man. This guy does nothing but fire. And when it comes to writing a theme, I don't think there's many in this country that can do it as well as this man here. Like, he can write any theme, you know. Like, or generally speaking, you can do it and you do it well.
Yeah, man.
You know.
On the, you know.
You know, but he's a veteran workhorse, you know.
Like this, bunch of albums, yeah, you know, a bunch of movies, you
straight
know,
up.
You know. Steven Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme, yeah, yeah, bit of that, you know.
Yeah. But that's what he is. Like,
what's the guy's name? Freddie Lee?
Oh, from
oh, what about Bolo Jung? Bolo Jung?
Bolo's
I've got
the
Tong
cover.
Po, Tong Po.
Tong Po?
I name checked Tong Po in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, straight up, straight up. That was Bolo Jung, eh? Nah, Bolo Jung was that other dude, the fucking the Tung Po was the kickboxer.
Yeah.
Bolo Jung was a shoot fighter, and what else was he in?
Enter the Dragon.
Enter the Dragon.
I mean, you know, I've ended up like after Wild Night with like stubby glass in my fist, like Jean-Claude Van Damme. Anyway, you know what I mean? So I relate to it in some level. Yeah.
On a level. But no, as I was stating, man, I like, you know, I fucking credit Biggie as like, you know, a decades deep workhorse of this game, man. Like, you know, and just someone that deserves the credit, man. Has been
it's nice having forever. A topic, some direction, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
sometimes people send you a beat, nothing on it.
Yeah.
Like, they want a verse, but they want me to do the whole thing and give them some vibe and a concept and some, you know, come on, man, give me something to work with, give me some direction.
But you spend an afternoon in the studio with you bring the direction, dude.
Yeah.
You'll have a hook on that shit in no time. You'll be like, oh, the beat makes you feel you know. And next thing you know, you're like, fucking, this guy's right. Yeah, let's go. You know, like,
I like bouncing off people, man. Sitting by myself, it's just, it's just nice energy. Yeah. You know, like sitting around, writing together, even. You might hear someone saying a few words and just click something over and you think of something else. And you're writing completely different things, but you kind of absorb something about the similar sort of, you're nodding your head the same way, the beats are playing or whatever. Yeah, you know, it's nice working with other people like that.
Like the Backyard Boogie.
What that was. We sat around, wrote everything on the spot, you know, on the day, did it half drunk. It was a bit rugged, but it's like, that's what it is. And that was the same thing.
Yeah.
And that was just, let's just do music for the fun of it. You know, it wasn't no grand scheme plans of albums. That was just make songs.
Of course.
And end up coming out 6 years later or something.
Yeah,
you know.
As so many joints do, dude.
Oh, but, you know, if it still holds up after 6 years, that's a good thing. So, that's all right.
But, see, it's fucking, dude, the only people that it is old to is us. You know, like, we've all got these fucking tracks we've sat on for Christ knows how long. Me and Biggie got some joints together that people haven't heard. And it's just like, man. But it's only old to us.
Yeah.
You know, like, really, you drop that shit tomorrow and be like, fucking, dude, that's a dope joint. Like we did with fucking, you know, actually, since the time we last saw you, man, you have done the HG joints. You know, like, we got a ton. Dude, I got Biggie. I got you in the studio, bro. I can't gloss over the fact.
Yeah, we've done HG 12 or HG 7.
You've done
a solo 7 on Lesser Known.
On Lesser Known.
Did Backyard Boogie. Did a Kill Squad mixtape and Kill Squad album.
And Kill Squad album. And we're coming fresh off the back
of
that Kill
Squad
album.
Guest spots, usuals.
You know? Exactly, dude. Guest spots all over the place. Jumpzilla, fucking.
Yeah, yeah.
Who else?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah,
Google.
Exactly.
Google Bigfoot. You won't find my music. Yeah, yeah. No, I made up that name before the internet, man. I would have come up with something different.
But even like going back to what you were saying, like with the just being in the studio, just spur of the moment, writing those fucking joints. You know, that's how that HG 12 and 7 and all that came about.
Yeah, so at the same time I was doing Backyard Boogie, it was the same time we were doing those 12s and the 12 and the 7. It was just, I was just focused getting things done.
Yeah.
Just let's do it. Pick a beat. I'll write a hook quickly and let's just knock it out on the spot.
Yeah.
Write it, do it, record it, done. You know, just sick of sitting on things for years, which... Funnily enough, I sat on it for years anyway. But, like, you know, just I like that energy. I like bouncing off people. You know, getting something in an email is not the same as sitting around and just on the same vibe as each other. So, and that's Bonesy brought around Tiny Ted and Woods. Like, you know, I barely knew them. I was like, they want to do music, bring them around. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
I don't care if they got a, you know, reputation or like they're well known. It doesn't mean shit to me. Let's make music. Yeah. Let's do it for fun. So that's how I got down with Woodsy and that, and that the song off Live 95 was done way later. Woodsy came up here when I just moved up here.
That's right.
Stay with me, and we did two songs. So there's another song in the chamber of me and Woodsy as well. On one of my beats, and we did the song for Rose's thing that won't get far off the Live 95. So how that came about.
Yeah, and then moving through that, the Lesser Known 7, once again, two tracks that have been sitting around.
Ancient songs, one of them. The Man Bag was done sort of around that time.
Who produced that?
Guy named Scott LaRotte. He's from WA originally. Lives in Melbourne. You know, standing with the graffiti. Like I've known him a while. Good dude, you know?
Yeah.
And he just sent me some beats. So, yeah, that's dope. I'm actually doing a 7. Lazy hit me up. So, yeah, all right. Let's, yeah. I just wrote it on the... I wrote and recorded the same morning I got the beat, actually. Yeah. So, it's just one of those...
Yeah.
When you're vibing with it, you just, you know, don't leave it sitting around. Just get it done.
You know what it is.
And the other song, the B-side, as you know, was done... Man, when was that?
Oh, bro, just post-commercial hell. Nah.
It was around the time...
Cold Heat?
Before Cold Heat. Before Cold Heat. Yeah. So whatever year that was.
Well, man, I remember
I recorded the verses. I was in Melbourne.
I recorded the verses at Gav's.
Yeah.
For that. Yeah. And then finished it with you.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it sat around for Christ knows how long.
Yeah, so Lazy be coming around, like, you know, go, man, why don't you put this shit out? Look, you know, just
As we
come
do.
Come on, man, put some music out.
Yeah, yeah.
You got all these songs, what were you doing with them?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a few computer crashes later and whatever. And that 7 came out. I mean, there's more. There's other songs of me and Jake no one's heard. There's, I got songs,
yeah. Yeah, you got a catalog.
Got a vault like Prince, you know?
Bro, straight up. Straight up. Straight up, dude. Absolutely.
Paint the shit out purple.
Paisley.
Yeah. Cut the butt cheeks out of my shorts, even. You know, come on, man. Let's, well,
there's purple an image. It up. That'd be a sight. Look like you play bass for Poison. Or Warrant or something.
Yeah, man.
But you are sitting on a fucking vast catalog of music, man.
Yeah, look, I've had a lot of computer dramas and things over the years as well.
Yeah.
A lot of things I'm still trying to recover.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of songs that are done that I'm just, I need to remake the beat, lost the samples or something. Yeah, it's computer files, man. But
fuck.
I kind of need to just do things and act on them.
Well, you have one recently, too, eh? Was it a recent computer crash?
Yeah. Oh, I've had dramas, man. I'm just still trying to extricate all these old songs and get them out, you know.
But... What a fucking country thing. Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess versus is easy. I can do it, send it off, and it's done. Man. So I like doing that because I can wipe my hands of it and just move on, you know.
Yeah.
And it may or may not come out, you know. A lot of them don't.
Yeah.
I waste my time, but you know.
The perennial workhorse in this scene. Since day dot, man. Since day dot, this man is it. And this man fucking shaped so much, you know. Like, you know, I don't know. Biggie don't get the credit, man. Biggie don't get the credit. That's what we're here
to do. I don't do it because too many computer crashes and not enough music yet.
Yeah. This man's a legend. This man was on flyers when fucking Trem was launching his 12s.
I was making 90s style beats in the 90s.
You were making exactly, dude. Straight up, man. This dude was supporting Boney and Stoney launching, you know? Like, man, this dude's been doing it. And then beyond that, we got to talk on this briefly, man, because we're coming this Royals Bigfoot collabo is coming off the back of Kill Squad's First Blood. Finally, you know, I know how long this sat around for and how long, you know, not that it's a fucking arduous task, but the task that it is to make music, create music, make music, and then press it, have it out. You know, like, it isn't just as fucking simple as.
Yeah, the genesis of that was during COVID lockdown or whatever. And Heater was sitting around. I was like, man, let's do some, pump something out, do a free download or something, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I was working the whole time, man. I still had to work. I'm essential, you know.
As we are. We are essential.
Essential listening, essential worker, all that. And he was like, yeah, let's do something. We started off, it was going a certain way, and then it just kind of grew into something else. We got Wolsey involved, got Overproof Pete involved, you know, then got Bonesy on the mix, and Terror, of course, with, like,
dude,
Who's Who of Brisbane on there. Man.
What a fucking song, eh?
So, it's not out digital at the moment. I've been too busy doing other stuff.
Yeah.
To even bother to upload it.
Yeah.
I don't like type. I don't like computers, man. I just got a thing against them afterwards. Songs I've lost.
Yeah, dude. Straight up.
I'm like, man, fuck digital. I'll just put the record out on the CD and whatever.
I've got to keep a logbook at the moment because I'm on a work license. And, you know, I was told the other day, they're like, why don't you just download the app? Why don't you use the fucking program? I'm like, fuck, can't I write that shit down? Fuck that. I keep a logbook up. What's a logbook? Well, that's not a logbook. That's an app. That's
I still write with a pen and paper. I don't.
Me too. I can't do it any other way. Look at this shit. I make notes about today's show.
My fingers are too big. How the fuck am I trying to type on a phone, man?
Sit there like that. I can't write to a phone.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me.
Nah. But, you know, the Kill Squad, Bigfoot, Heater, Overproof Pete, DJ Wolsey, the fucking dude, the first single, man. I've spoken about it on this podcast. I spoke about it on a couple of podcasts ago, man. Like, you know, for me, what's the first single called? What was it called?
Purge.
Purge. You know, like, it was like the California Love video meets fucking... meets fucking, I can't even remember, man. I had some analogy for it. I was like, man, this is
it was like deal. Meets Weekend at Bernie's, boy. End of it, man. I was all sunstroke from sitting on the back of that ute, you know, like wearing a plastic army suit, yeah. Sweating, like dripping out my legs.
You suffer for your art. You suffer for the art.
Hair and balls inside the ute looking cool the whole time. Man, proof was just copping it.
You just debris jump out.
Flying our faces, you know. Oh, if you watch the video closely, when we jump off the back of the ute, you might notice I don't get up.
It's hilarious. So, then Peter gallops through
you,
the
you
fucking
watch grass. What he does, the director's cut of that, you might see some outtakes.
It's a fantastic video. Dude.
I mean,
it's
yeah, amazing. Look, we should really do a proper Kill Squad episode or something. Get everyone on here. You know,
it'd be good. It'd be good.
It's going good. We're happy with it. We're proud of it. It ended up being more of an official thing rather than a free download, like throwaway. Yeah. As it was originally going to be, so that's why it took longer and more effort.
Yeah,
like we put all this time into it. Let's just do it proper. Got Maxi on the artwork.
It's a whole undertaking. You did a mixtape in lead up to it. You know, that you used press.
The
to
album
CD.
Was done when we started the mixtape.
Okay, fuck.
That's how long some of these things take.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving parts. Having to say.
That's it. There are a lot of moving parts when it comes to this
and
music.
And wax
game.
Takes ages to get pressed now, all that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know. How'd you find that shit during COVID? Were you pressing during COVID?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mad
holdups?
Yeah.
Mad
holdups. It was 6 months to press on wax.
Yeah.
That's wherever I reached out to multiple ones, local ones and ones overseas.
Yeah.
They're all 6 months.
No shit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. What were you pressing? What was getting pressed during COVID?
Well, the DFOGs.
DFOGs and the Angus had another album with
DFOGs Bryzone. Came out on wax.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And he did another one. Call for Backup.
Okay.
So Angus Younger and Bryzone did an album together.
Yeah.
Called Call for Backup. They've done the album together before.
Yeah.
And we pressed this one on wax as well. So I did two.
Yeah.
2 12s during COVID.
Sick.
Yeah.
Sick.
And it just took ages.
Bro. Talk about that, man. Talk about that fucking, that COVID period during Melbourne, man, and what you had to endure and how you got yourself through it. I've spoken to a few people from Melbourne. Well, we speak to a ton of cunts from Melbourne, to be honest, but, you know, your own personal experience through that period,
You
man.
Guys didn't have the lockdown like we did.
No, like, no, fuck.
No, it was a half-stepping, man. It was just, like, people were crying, though. It was like, locked down for 3 days and everyone's going crazy at the supermarkets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh man, I can't live like this. Look, man, it's 3 days, bro. Come on, man. Yeah.
I think what was it initially? We got a couple of months, like 6 weeks, maybe something.
I was working the whole time. And,
me too.
I was driving around. I didn't get pulled up for shit.
Dude, I'll tell you, up here, the supermarket became the fucking outing for people. I would fucking.
Oh man, Kmart was wild. It was like going to Big Day Out, all these women looking at homewares.
It was fucking
like,
something
on,
else, man. I would walk into fucking Woolies, man, and it would just be packed. I'm like, are you serious? You motherfuckers haven't got something better to do? Aren't we all worried? Like, man, every motherfucker's
in there.
Look,
dude, you really need that trolley of shit tickets? Like, bro, come on, man.
You know?
Come
straight on. Up. But Royals, your experience. In other words, no, we didn't like it, but, you know.
Melbourne was bad, man. Like, we weren't allowed out. Everyone's being policed.
Yeah.
You're only allowed out to, like, exercise or walk your dog or some shit like that.
Yeah.
So I was, suited me fine because, like, I'm a producer, so, you know, I can stay home and sit on the computer and make beats and stuff. But Angus was locked down as well. And he was on the writing spree at that stage. And we were just shit talking about, you know, discount fashion and stuff. And it just came together. We were both at home, bored with nothing to do, but we were still had this creative outlet, so we're still outputting stuff. So we just put it together, and
you're having DFO withdrawals, huh?
We were, man. We couldn't drive out there. We did drive out there, but it's right time to be creative while we were locked down because you couldn't do shit, man.
Yeah.
Like you know, it was a struggle just to get toilet paper,
bro.
You know, it was crazy.
Was it a time like you know, like you said, you started a family during that time?
I did actually. Yeah. It was
a good time to reset
time.
In a way, maybe.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know.
I was sort of, it sort of lined up with me anyway. So I was going to stay home anyway.
Yeah.
But like, it was weird because, like, you know, I wasn't allowed to stay at the hospital or anything like that.
Shit.
But the hospital drive, perfect.
Fucking
no traffic.
Easy.
Got there in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was going to stay home anyway.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to have a work from home job before I lost it due to COVID. But so everything sort of worked out fine, and we just put our heads together, made this album, the D4G's album, and the other one, I'm not sure when they did it, but we did the D4G's album during COVID, and I just got it pressed. It took 6 months to get it pressed, and but we're happy with the result. So it was really good, and like I had to wait till after lockdowns had finished to do the cover, because I had a vision in mind, like an old 90s car.
Yeah, for real.
Like I used to be a bit of a petrol head back in the day.
Yeah.
So like I had my, you know, I was either going to do like a AE86, which is a Toyota Sprinter.
Yeah.
Or what I got was a Nissan 180SX.
Yeah.
SR20 for those petrol heads. like a nice one done up, and, you know.
A padded seatbelt almost.
It probably did, man. Yeah. So I just had a vision for it. Like I had a vision for how it was going to sound, how the album was going to look, and then Angus just did the rest. And so that's how I kept myself busy during lockdown, because we pretty much couldn't leave the house. Like I could only go for a walk down the street to the supermarket. Ooh, I was one of those dudes at the supermarket just chilling.
Yeah, because it's something to do.
Just roll out the, you know, in your thongs. Yeah. No deodorant. I didn't wear deodorant for like 2 years. You know, just roll out. I got no one to impress. You know, I just want to get my toilet paper and bounce, man.
And you lost your job due to it?
I lost two jobs over that time. So.
Fuck me. What careers?
You're blaming COVID, right?
Yeah, but all COVID's fault, man. I didn't do nothing. COVID. Yeah, but I was lucky lucky that I could work from home for a little bit. But then, you know, lost a job. So, took up martial arts instead to keep my mind busy.
For real?
See? Yeah. Well, after we were allowed to go out a little bit, and then we got locked down again. And, we got locked down for a long time in Melbourne.
Dude. Man, I've heard some fucking stories, bro. Like, you know, like that Wiz FM dude was telling us, man, he got fired at. Like, you know, he was just trying to go to the studio one day. And it was within, apparently, I think it was within the vicinity of wherever he was.
I think we had like a 5K radius something like that.
Yeah. And then it got extended to 10, you know. It's like, fuck, man. Yeah, the shit you just can't endure, dude.
Oh, it was terrible. Yeah, but I kept myself busy, luckily.
Yeah.
My mind and physicality was okay.
Yeah.
But other people, like, I heard stories, you know, people were suffering mentally and all that. Oh, 100%. Which I understand, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How's Melbourne now?
It's back to normal, man. Like,
all the way though? Is it all? There's still a bunch of empty stores, and it's not quite.
Yeah, there's a few. Dan Andrews in charge too.
A few empty stores, but like in terms of like going out on the weekend, you go to the city.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Packed.
No shit.
Yeah. Packed. Yeah, back to normal, man. It's good to see.
What's the feeling towards Dan Andrews? Not to get political, but just in terms of, you know.
I'll keep my hands clean of that sort of stuff, bro.
I just see that shit, and I'm just like, how? Like, how? Mm. You know? And then this motherfucker, the other day, I seen some shit. He's fucking got He's got fucking trainees reading to 10-year-old kids and shit. Like, in Parliament. I'm just like, what the fuck? Mm. You know? I don't know, man. Okay. Each their own. This is my opinions, man. You know? I don't know how that cunt's still fucking down there. Still standing there. Is what it is, eh?
Is what it is.
Is what it is. Let's get back to drumless beats. Segway. You know, but when you're sampling, dude, when you're digging for shit, man, do you just go, do you find yourself digging specifically for that fucking, because like I was saying, man, I'm loving some of that 80s sound. Those 80s chops and just the fucking, even the extended choruses that you're using.
Yep.
You know, like.
Like I mentioned before, I just go through phases of stuff. So I sort of look. When I find something, I sort of look for something similar, and then it just branches off from there. And so I was just listening to it, just vibing, you know, like hearing those choruses, and you know, I'm just gonna leave the choruses in.
Yeah.
Most people would chop them out, but I like sitting there listening to it, so I just.
And you like getting lawyers on your case too.
true, dude. Because you're using elongated pieces of fucking music, man, you know? Like.
Okay, my lawyers told me to stop this conversation, bro.
You're Asian, you got a lawyer in the family, so like, I'm just playing.
I've got to call the Guaylo gang on that one.
Guaylo gang. But yeah, I mean, digging for those records, man, I fuck with some of that fucking, you know, once again, actually going back to COVID, man, like I had I was checking out some of those DJ sets, and I remember Clark Kent, he was doing Oh, he had one night and he did a series of them, and maybe they were stored on Instagram. I can't remember, but I remember it was during COVID and I was watching a few of them, and he was playing like those 80s club bangers from like Paradise Garage and the fucking, you know, those New York club nights and shit. And that's where I heard a lot of that music. So I started hearing samples that I just hadn't, I wasn't aware, you know, and then listening to some of your stuff, I was like, holy fuck, man, this sounds like some of that music that I've heard. Amazing music, dude.
You love it.
Yeah. I love incredible, it. Man. Yeah. Incredible. Who influences you production wise?
People on my leg, really. Yeah. So like DJ Premier, like for the longest time.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because I love the way he makes his beats. You know, he's very old school. He's like a purist type of dude, you know?
Yeah.
You know, S950.
Yeah.
MPC, whatever the fuck he uses.
He started on the 60, didn't he? MPC
probably. 60. He's probably still using it. And RZA.
Yeah.
You know, the Wu-Tang era.
Yeah.
Into, you know, the first couple albums, I would say, I was influenced heavily. And then more recently, Rock Marciano, which is why he's also included on there. Because I didn't actually like Rock Marciano when I first heard him.
For real.
It took me a little while.
Yeah.
And then I was on board all the way. And so his style of production definitely influenced me in the last 13 years.
Yeah. What did you hear from Rock Marci first?
Discourse.
Oh, Discourse.
Discourse.
He put you up on it.
Yeah, because
same boss, man.
After the game one night,
yeah,
I went over to his joint in Jordanville, and
Air Jordanville.
Yeah, Air Jordanville. And yeah, he just burnt me a CD. Goes, I reckon you'll like this.
Yeah, I was like,
oh yeah, all right. So grabbed the CD off him, and yeah, just I spun it first time. I was like, don't know about this, and then spun a couple more times. Like, yeah, fuck, this is the shit.
Marsberg.
Yeah. So I've got like. This is for the lawyers out there. I've purchased like 3 to 4 copies of it since I got that bird version.
Because there's probably 3 or 4 different versions of it now, like between the wax and the sort of shit.
I got a CD that's missing that Smile song.
It's
not on there. Really?
Yeah.
It's one of the best songs on there.
I bought the first pressing of the vinyl and it only had 5 tracks. And
it was the EP that first pressing.
It had Snow and Thug's Prayer and whatever else. And then the instros. On the B side, and then it was repressed.
Yeah, I got a bonus disc with the instrumentals too, but didn't have the song a lot.
Yeah, there's a bunch of fucking different versions of it. Because then there's another version that
I'm
came out.
I'm not buying anymore, man. I got enough CDs.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. But that's it. But then there's a couple of versions of it because there was another version that had a remix of Snow with Sean Price attached to it.
That's right.
I think.
Yeah.
That worked.
And the sky was like a different
color. Yeah. They redid the cover.
But so that really fucking, that shit took you. And then Reloaded happens, I suppose.
Yep. And then, you know, stuff like, even his side stuff, like the Pimpire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Fucking love that shit, man.
Yeah.
You know, just that, just those soul samples and just his flow on it. And
I like that, was it Marci Boku? Marci Boku.
Oh, yeah.
He had like evidence
that was
on
like,
there.
He had like people producing for him on that.
No, he produced people.
Ah, sorry. Yeah.
So
okay.
I think like he had evidence. Might have had like LO Black. Oh, there's a bunch of random MCs. Yep. Might have had a Prodigy verse on there even. I can't remember. It was dope though.
Yeah.
It was pretty fucking
good.
Yeah. No, man, I hear a lot of that influence in your shit. What about Alchemist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big time. Big time. Just like, even like, he's just everywhere. You know, he's like.
He is. Yeah.
You just see him in like, you know, on production credits with this dude. You see them hanging out in photos, like completely different, like, groups of people, but he's there. And his production style as well. Big influence.
He's fucking like at the center of so much, man. You know, like he's, you know, you all of a sudden you hear a fucking Earl Sweatshirt single and then the next thing you hear the most underground artist out of LA, you know, like it's just like fuck.
He's on Schoolboy Q beats and
stuff
like that. Yeah,
Freddie Gibbs.
Shit, man. Yeah. You know, did he had a big joint recently? Not Schoolboy Q, but L.
Did beats for that Scarface album that the product with two guys Scarface put on had Alchemist beats on there as well.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Producer for Scarface.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
Yeah, he is. Hey. Yeah, he's everywhere, man. And like you said, he's on fucking TV show. He's just everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Very prolific.
An identity man, you know, as much as a fucking producer, but still always just in the lab.
Yeah, always in the lab.
Yeah.
I think I bought his drum pack or something like that, and he had a little story in there. Or was that? That might have been Havoc. Either way, big influence as well.
Absolutely. Well, this fucking this basketball team of yours.
Oh man, all star.
Oh, can I pinch one of those? Do you?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you don't mind.
No,
cheers, bro. Fucking beautiful. I enjoy that, eh?
No, I did. I mean, I haven't drunk
bourbon's beats in the biz.
Yeah. For real. And like, man, I'm generally not drinking down here these days. I mean, I have a couple here and there, but
you know. Mate, I hear those cans open every episode. Nah. Oh,
well, these days, hey, what do you reckon? Well, these days, Gussie? Hey, not really. Yeah, true. Yeah, every so often. Every so often, there's a couple. Like, you know, but these things drop all out of order. It's true. Yeah, it does. It does. And I'm kicking it with one of my fucking good friends right now. So, you know, I could do nothing less than join him. Join him for a drink. But, yeah.
Team boss.
Team boss.
Team boss.
What's up? So,
so you left Brisbane where we had the Rebels, the 750 team.
750 Rebels team. You know, I was hooping it up, you know.
Yeah, for real.
It's like Mutombo mixed with buddy Jabba the Hutt up there, you know. Just, you know, slow and deadly. And, I moved back to Melbourne. This is when the Crate Cartel, they were getting busy doing a lot of stuff. And, Discourse was like, well, I can't play my team. It was miles away.
Yep.
Glenn Waverley, where the hell it was?
Matt Waverley.
And, started hooping with them, with another team in the hood with my cousin as well. But, so team boss was,
All stars, bro.
It was Discourse. Yeah. And I didn't know anyone else at first, but it turns out it's Royals.
Yeah.
He's like the Pat Riley of the whole shit, you know what I mean? No slick shit. Back hair.
Yeah. The Pat Riley.
and Angus.
Was it Taunts in there too?
Yeah, Taunts was playing for quite a while. Yeah. 1-6 played a few games.
Yeah, 1-6 played.
Yeah. We had Draft come and play one day.
Dialect played with us.
Dialect played a couple times.
Yeah.
DJ Vaughn and Graphic.
DJ Elevate.
A couple riders as well.
Yeah. So it was, we did our thing.
Sick.
So, yeah.
Back-to-back.
Back-to-back champions.
Shit.
Yeah, man.
For real.
Clutch came back, man.
When this come play for the 750 team, we couldn't pay for a win, man. Did we have one win against like a full retard team?
I don't know, some
team of fucking old retards, and we finally won a game.
I don't know.
It was fucking. I can't remember. I remember. I don't think we won too many games.
I think we won the War of Words afterwards. with Lopsy on the sideline as our mascot, with a 10-pack of Bundy.
That's true. It's true. Someone would pick you, pick Lopsy up, hey, with a 10-pack of fucking Bundy. Bring him down.
Sup, I'm Mesk. Here to let you know that if you're doing a run of merch and you're not going to Ill Merch, you're basically just f***ing around. All done locally on high-quality blanks with the quickest turnaround in the game. From idea to right here in a couple of days. Illegal Merchandise is Oz Hip Hop's number one supplier. So hit us up today on Instagram at Illegal Merch or... Go f*** yourself.
But how's the camaraderie on the team?
It was great.
Two fucking championships. Jesus
back
Christ.
To back, man.
Back to back.
It was crazy. Look, we played really well. Like
we were getting smashed in one of those games too. We're down. We're playing this team of sneaky, arm grabbing, cry to the ref sort of little bitches, you know?
Yeah.
And we were down, oh, fuck this, man. And it was like a Hollywood movie. You know? we might make a little series, mini series about it.
It's like the air up there.
Overcoming the odds, you know. So
the air up there crossed with dangerous
minds.
Well,
it's got to be better than LeBron remaking Space Jam. Oh, come on, man. Space flop, those
guys. Yeah, for real. Anyway. They just use that as a vehicle to sell those fucking shoes for it. You know, they were hoping fucking...
Ugly-ass shoes, man.
Bro, straight up.
Pull out all sorts. All man, stops as well.
I reckon they'll
they're no Jordans.
Dude, they're no... The fucking Space Jam, Jordan 11. You know, actually Royals, man. Like I seen in your Instagram feed, you get down like that, man. Like you've got fucking... You've got the... Was it Bordeaux 7s that I saw from 92?
Raptor 7s.
Oh, Raptor 7s. Yeah, that's right.
I used to have them... back when I first started playing ball.
Yeah.
I think I started playing ball when I was 12.
How old are you? You look so young.
I'm very old.
Older than us? Or?
I'm older than I look. I'm like your age.
Oh, you're our age.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, we're different age, so.
Well, yeah. Well,
you're both of our age.
Well, you got 2 years on him.
No, he's got 2 years on me.
Yeah, he's got 2 years on me. Yeah. So we're the same age.
Yeah, so probably. So I used to...
The Majors look good when they get old, man.
Bro, look at this. Motherfucker looks great.
Yeah, up until I'm 50 and then it goes downhill from there. Yeah. But yeah, let's take advantage while I can.
You get those hairy moles and shit like that.
Yeah, it's going to all happen. Man.
You get that long ass little fingernail.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah, that's natural.
Do that Fuji dust.
Open a dry cleaning business and shit.
Yeah, I've stopped collecting kicks.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
I just spend too much money on them. And now I'm just like wearing runners and shit just because I got bad feet.
Like, bro, it's funny how you get older, hey? Like, man, like I could never, you know, like, man, I was high tops the whole time. Mm. Like fucking Jordan 5, 6s, 7s, fucking boom, 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 go through the list. But yeah, man, in my 40s, can't I go buy a pair of canvas Reeboks from Lakes for like $90? I'm like, yeah, man, yeah. Some white on white, it's just crisp, clean, fucking boom.
It's cheaper, it's better for, you know, your feet. I got bad ankles from ball, knees.
Yeah,
bad knees, bad everything, man.
What you got to say? He got something to say.
Oh, man, just true talk, man. I, you know, beggars can't be choosers.
Fucking beggars can't be choosers, cunt. You got game, cunt. You got all that shit. Like, man, you've been a sneaker dude since fucking day dot. I'm at 89 really flights. Though. I first ever saw 89 flights on your feet. You had original Jordan 5s post the accident and shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, you had all that shit, bro.
Oh, they were issues. They were like 2000.
But you're also, what, not to interrupt, size 15. What
do
you get?
Yeah, so, man. Most of the stuff I can't get. I can't go to Full Lock and buy shoes. Exactly. I can't,
it's fucked.
Can't go anywhere.
No.
That's why I was hitting the factories all the time. The outlets, because there's one place that sometimes have them.
So. Yeah.
But, you know, shoes, I don't really care that much. Like,
giving
up because I see all these things, I can't buy them. So,
that's it, eh? Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Myself with it, you know?
Yeah, I don't even think they retro some of these joints at that size, you know?
Like, yeah, I could never get the blue and orange Reebok Rads or none of that stuff.
Yeah, for real. What age did you get that foot? Like, those feet, how long they been like that for? Fucking stupid 18. Question, but, you know? But seriously,
bro,
you know, like, you
18,
through
I
your
think,
teens.
Man. 18, something like that. So, yeah, it was just like, oh, shit, I can't buy shoes anywhere.
That's fucked, eh?
Internet's a good thing. Well, good and bad, you know.
Yeah.
Duality of it, but, yeah, I can order stuff from overseas now.
Yeah.
So, it's a good thing.
Yeah, but what about you, Roy? So, you collecting for a while, or you were buying?
I used to, yeah. I was into, like, basketball shoes, because I was actually play basketball.
Yeah.
Not that you could really wear the old ones. Like, I tried.
Nah, those Jordan 5s.
Don't do it.
I was a team boss. I was wearing all the retro shit.
Yeah.
Soles flapping off and stuff, like mid-game, you know. Look, I even took all my jerseys there. Like, we had the spares for when they had another team with the same color as our normal uniform.
Yeah.
I had a bag of, like, white NBA jerseys, like 20 different ones, you know, just you could pick, you could be whoever.
We didn't have a uniform for the longest time. We just said, everyone rock up in the black jersey, and then we'll just play.
I had a different one every week.
Before we went, probably before we won our championships, I got some made, like, in the Philippines. And we got like proper burgundy joints.
Yeah.
And with our names on the back, stitched on.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, Discourse bit the Boston Celtics and changed it up.
For real.
Yeah, we were just chilling at my place, just talking shit. And it's like, oh, we should do the Boston logo, except he's smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
And we just made it.
Changed it up.
Just
did
it.
Yeah.
And then I think maybe we just won the championship on the back of that.
Oh, dude.
Well, you look good, you feel good, you play good.
Fucking,
you
know? Hey, come on, man. The esteem, the fucking, you know, that's a team shit, man. You're a team at that point. Remember, we got ours done. I remember Bez designed them. Bez, and maybe Peter had something to do with it too.
Overproof Pete hooked it up.
Yeah,
Bez
that's
designed
it.
RIP Bezrock.
Yeah, big.
What up, Overproof Pete?
Absolutely. Rest in peace to Bez and shouts to Proof. And like, they did it full Jordan 3 styles. And going back to what you're saying, playing in those retro fucking kicks. I remember one day going in there with the black black cement Jordan 3s.
Was that when you and Lopsy were getting the DH gate, buddy? Jordans? Felt like bricks?
Oi, I did one pair. Lopsy's like, no, Lopsy says to me,
they're coming in box.
You can get fucking Jordan 4s for $69. $69
in the box.
I bought one pair. Of fucking
fakes.
Bring
like a box, man.
Put one pair of fakes. Lopsy. Lopsy just swore by this fucking website. I think it was called Kicksky.com. Yeah. I think that's what it was called, Kicksky.com. And they sold $65 pairs of Jordans, man. Wow. You could get anything you wanted. You get fucking infrared sixes. You could get fucking bread ones. $65. Mind you, this is pre, like, the hype and the resale. Mm. You know, resale sort of started coming along after. But, man, Lopsy used to swear by these joints. I bought one pair through that site and I was like, these are fucking garbage. These are absolute fucking garbage.
They're even heavy to look at.
They're disgusting. Dude, I got a pair of, like, I bought, because I had cement fours, right? And I trashed them and I bought a pair of cement fours through there. I'm like, for $65, what the fuck? Bro, the shoe was that fucking long. It was like three sizes too big on my foot. It had like toe prints in the end of it. It was just an odd looking fucking thing, man. They weren't right. I will say that.
The new Nikes aren't that good either, man. Yeah.
I will say though, to Lopsy's, to Lopsy's credit, may Lopsy once again, you know, another rest in peace. Big shout out to Lops. Big rest in peace to Lops. He did get a couple of pairs. I remember he got those infrared sevens, and they were like, oh no, infrared sixes, sorry. And I was like, man, I just remember back now, and I was like, man, I don't think they look that bad, but maybe if I picked it up now, you'd just be like, no, that was fucking garbage.
They might look all right. They feel like you're walking around in bloody, you know.
Dude.
Gumboots.
Yeah, bro, straight up. In card. Like, they felt like
young gumboots.
Yeah. They felt like card wrapped around your foot. That's what they fucking felt like. Like, you know. But, boys, like, you know, man, fuck. We could talk this shit all night. Listen, I really appreciate both of you coming. Like, when can we expect this seven? Is it filming the video, Royals?
Yeah, so my next one is going to be Bloodsport.
Yeah, Bloodsport's.
Bloodsport's first. So that's the production album. That's coming out June 15th.
Oh, okay,
I've got a couple clips coming out probably before this episode comes out.
Yep.
I may as well just say it.
The first
single.
Yeah, this probably won't drop for, sorry, not to cut you off. Yeah. Probably 3 weeks. Maybe 3 weeks.
Yeah, you want to drop the lineup, the album lineup?
Yeah. So, like, the first single is going to be Onyx.
Yep.
Second single is Josiah the Gift from New Jersey.
Fucking Onyx is your first
Onyx
single.
Yep.
Oh, what?
Yeah, Onyx. Dream. This is my dream.
Dude. Sick. How cool is that?
Yeah, it makes it happen. Gets it done.
Fuck yeah, bro.
Yeah, just get the shit done.
You got it done when they were in the country?
No, way before that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, way before that. Wow. I met them when they came down, but
He got on them before Jam Master Jay signed him. He gets on these people early, probably.
Back then.
He's early.
Yeah, always early. Early.
Oh fuck, who else?
Before JMJ signed him. That's awesome.
Oh, okay, let's say
that's fantastic.
Yeah, before they shaved their heads.
Yeah.
They had a high tops when they were recording the song for Roll.
They had a high top.
Kid and play looking shit.
Yeah, they're gummy.
locally, Bigfoot.
Yes.
Taunts and
What Up Taunts?
Culprit. Yeah, What Up Taunts?
Culprit, yeah, Culprit's well. On there.
Good
what
Culprit Soul.
Yeah,
what
Up Culprit? Yep. And the rest are USMC. So people like The Hidden Character from I think Boston or something like that.
Yeah, heard of, yeah.
You know when you get the letter from his lawyer, bro. Yeah.
Rim and Eddie Kane from New York. Oh man, a whole bunch of people. Gore-Tex.
Oh, fuck off.
He goes by the Lord Goat. Goat.
The Lord Goat. Have you heard the new Ill Bill record?
No.
You listen to the new Ill Bill record, Mask?
Was it playing? Were you playing it?
I've played it in the car a few times.
Billy.
Fuck.
It sounds vintage. It sounds dope.
It's dope. And fucking Gore-Tex is producing now. And
really?
He makes some, like, he makes my favorite track on there. Like,
is
the
it
beat.
Like, is it like high pitch Ill Bill? Like old school? Or?
It's not old school Ill Bill, but it's kind of the close. Yeah, it's reminiscent, okay. Man. Okay. It's kind of the closest I've heard to Ill Bill in a minute. Like, probably since the Grimy Awards was the last time I was like, man, I was fucking with Bill.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's put 5-6 albums out in that time that I've kind of gone, you know. But, yeah, he's gotten pretty tight again with the Lord Goat, Gore-Tex. And, I think he's got 5 or 6 beats on there, and he raps on 3 or 4 joints. It's fucking dope.
Nice. I'm going to have
to listen. He caught me off guard.
Yeah.
Billy, the latest record.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That's dope, though.
Yeah. Gore-Tex, I got... China Mac.
Oh, wow. Sick.
Body Bag Ben from Cali.
Man. Okay, I've never heard of Body Bag Ben.
Good
name. Isn't it?
A handful of other people. But that's coming out June 15th. That will be from Off Grime Productions and distributed in America by Bars Over BS, which is Ty Farris's Detroit label. So they're going to be distributing international, and then Grime, we're going to be doing the local ones,
that's
a joint sort of venture. And then after that, eventually we'll release our seven,
doing the seven
on something completely different to what anyone's heard before. Change it up.
So on the How About It vibes, funk, bring the funk back, you know.
Yeah,
can't wait.
I'm pretty sure I'm blessed to have heard those tracks, eh?
Yeah, dude,
it's fucking sick. You know, we don't want to fucking let too much on. But listen, just briefly, just going back to, you know, like getting Onyx on a track, dude. You know, like, man, you just throwing that out there, man. I got to ask, like, what's involved in getting Onyx?
Usually when you want to work with someone, you hit them up via whatever social media or email or whatever.
Mm.
And you start the relationship there.
Yeah.
And then, so obviously you got to ask, you know, how much do you charge? Are you willing to work, you know, send them beats? Are you willing to work? Like, some people, they work with anyone. It's just for the money. Other people, they have to like the beat first.
Yeah.
Or like you as a producer or whatever first before they work with you. It's the same as like people selling beats.
Yeah.
You know, some people sell beats to any fucking one. And other people, they vet people first. You know, they'll listen to some old music and, okay, I'll sell you some beats. Same thing, except the other direction.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and that's it. So, yeah, we just hooked up that way. And it was actually through Fredro.
Yeah, okay.
Because he's more active on the internet.
More accessible.
More accessible. More accessible. And it was one of those things, like, when I first got into hip-hop, it was Onyx.
Yeah, dude.
It was Back the Fuck Up. It was one of the first things I listened to.
Yeah.
And, you know, Attack, no, what was it? Throw Your Guns.
Yeah, bro.
That had me hooked on hip-hop. From after Throw Your Guns, I was
100%
in the game. So that was a dream collab that I made happen.
Yeah.
You know, another dream collab that I've done is Rock Marciano. So I've done the track with him. Sometimes you just got to do it, man. Like, you know, stop wishing. Get your shit together and just fucking do it, man.
Yeah.
It's well worth it.
And these guys are only a fucking message away now these days. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, you know? they're much more accessible now than, you know, before the internet.
Yeah. Who produced Onyx's first record?
JMJ, wasn't it?
Crisis?
Crisis.
Oh, Crisis. Yeah. That makes sense.
With K.
KH or whatever.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Oh, JMJ has something to do with it.
He put them on.
Put them on.
You know? And then supposedly, oh, no, that was, that had something to do with 50 Cent, didn't it? JMJ's death or something, they say, has some tenuous link to 50.
I can't sit through these bad B-movie documentary things, man.
I know. But I read that shit somewhere. I didn't even watch that. I saw that. I remember even Odzy texted me a link to it. He's like, I'll watch this. It's about JMJ's death. But I didn't. I don't think I watched it, eh? I can't remember. But yeah, I was listening to Throw Your Guns recently just because I was 12.
Mm.
Yeah, I pulled it out. I was like, fuck. Because that's where the what's it called on Come Clean? Hold up, because we're dropping some shit. Uh-oh.
Heads up,
because we're dropping some shit. Uh-oh. Like, fuck, man. They're timeless, eh? Mm. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, they did a recent album. Bonesy put me on it. It was like a...
1993, that one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's...
It's got that old vibe.
I think it's a European producer,
Oh, Snow Goons.
Was it?
The German dudes? No,
after that.
Oh, after that. Yeah.
Okay. But it's dope. They sound as sort of... fresh as ever.
Really?
You know? It's good, man.
Not bad. Yeah. Well, Onyx is only what? Sticky Fingers and...
Right now,
two of them.
Isn't it? Yeah, that's it. Fuck, that's crazy. Because they even had like a Kickstarter campaign for a while there because I was supposed to do a collaborative album with MOP. Remember seeing that? I think they raised like fucking 1,500 of a 33 grand budget. It was off the back of that Dayla shit. Remember Dayla? They did like a Kickstarter thing. They got 600K. And then Onyx and MOP said, we're doing an album. We need 33 grand. I think they got like 1,500
Isn't
bucks.
Isn't it funny all these rappers with jewelry and Ferraris need to do Kickstarters to raise 3 grand to do an album? Are you serious? Come on, man. You're broke. Come on, man.
Dude, just fucking put a, you know, even just do a pressing, man. Just like,
man, I'm not doing pre-orders, man. We put Kill Squad out. We just do that. Front the money. Believe in yourself. Invest in yourself, man. If you're that bad, it's such a risk. Then don't do it.
True. But Kill Squad still available.
Yeah, man. HGCrew.com.
The vinyl's still available. Yep.
Yeah, no? I think just red. There's just a few red left. Okay, and CDs. We'll put on digital at some point, but man, I don't care.
Just fucking do shit.
I mean, you know, I'll get
the hard copies.
We'll get our 80 cents from Spotify eventually, you know. But I'll just
annual 80 cents. Yeah,
man,
annual.
I got lawns to mow and other shit to do, bro. So Spotify can wait, mate. It's not a priority. Yeah. So you know, hgcrew.com. You get all our stuff, whatever the gear, the shirts.
Oh, you're constantly, dude. You mean you're moving, bro? You're never not moving.
Oh no, it's moved. It's good. It's not that many left, but and you want to hit the Royals up? You get the Grime Productions.
Grime Productions.
G in front of the rhyme.
Yes.
That's how you spell it? Not like the stain on toilet bowl. It's like the
not in the traditional sense. Not in the traditional
G rhyme.
The G rhyme.
Yeah, there'll be a couple copies on HG Crew as well.
Yeah, man.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
It'll be everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's fucking great having you boys up here, man. Like, thank you. Great to have Biggie back. Great to meet you for a first time, brother. Like, you know, it's been a fucking honor. How long have we been out of this shit for?
A little bit over an hour.
Oh, sweet, man. Fucking nice, tight, concise. You know, anything we need to leave with?
Nah, man, you know, you would tell people to check out Live 95 because you've got some pretty eclectic ill mixture of guests on there, you know what I mean?
So,
Reel off those guests, man. Tell people.
Live 95?
Yeah, man. It's kind of a few years ago. You could go back and check
it. It's well worth people's time, man.
Yeah, that's what
you got. The Conway the Machine, Rock Marciano,
Taunts, Bigfoot, 1/6, Dialect, Angus Younger,
Woodsy,
what up, Woods? Of course. Jesus, who else? I can't even remember.
Howl's
on there.
Woodsy still spitting?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's spitting.
Yeah, I think so. I got a Woodsy 7.
Sick.
Yeah, I think he's still out there.
Yeah, Woodsy's still around. He's in Queensland.
He's up here.
Well, no, he floats around. But He gets around.
He's around. That's the way.
No, he'll be doing more music.
Exactly.
Yeah, good. Yeah, Live 95.
Bam.
I would say copy, but I don't think there's any copies left.
Mate, snooze, you lose, like, you know.
Yeah. Stream it.
It's on digital?
It's on digital, so yeah, give me that 10
What's
cents,
What's digital
man.
For? What's the...
give me that 10 cents. Yeah, 10 cents.
Where do people find you to give you the 0.005 of a... Nano
I think
cent.
It's just search Royals with a Z.
No wonder all these rappers are broke.
Listen, man, they're not selling records and they can't get a show. So you
and
know,
that necklace like, rental must fucking kill them too, bro.
Same with the car rental, the whole thing. Oh man, the
car that bounces up and down. Like, come on, man, you don't drive that.
Is the car that bounces up and down still a thing? That's our era.
Wow.
That's fucking the 90s.
I don't know. I've seen some fellas, you know, I don't know.
You need the fucking suicide
mate,
doors now.
They were in high-vis driving Barinas when you see them during the day, man. But, you know.
They're in high-vis driving forklifts when you see them during the day. For real. But that's dope. Actually, I was just going to ask you just once again, just one of those off-the-cuff questions. You ever hear DJ Doo Wop's Live 95?
Yes.
The mixtape he put out back then.
Yes.
Fucking amazing, man.
Definitely. It was the cassette that I did for Live 95 is
so
based
it was?
On... DJ Doo Wop's
cassette.
Oh, that's
fucking fantastic because that's what I thought. And then I saw the game because, I was
it's
never a gamer.
Different cover art on the cassette, right?
And I was never a gamer and I was like, oh, no, I think Royals is going for the game side of things, not the Doo Wop side of things. But that's dope to know.
Well, I did a few things related to 95. So, I did a purple tape.
Ah, fuck.
So, I can't remember, like, I don't know, 10, 20.
Yep.
So, whoever was the first 10 or 20 orders, I gave them the purple tape.
Sick.
And then the rest were just regular clear ones. Yeah. So I try to tie everything together with 95.
So it's all available to stream digitally. People can
You can stream it.
Yeah.
It should be legal to stream. Yeah. So please don't email me.
Nah, dude. Listen.
Did you clear all the samples? So where can they find your Royals? I don't mean the lawyers, I mean the fans. But
hit me up on legal@grindproductions.com.
Royals, guess what? You're not going to have too many more of royalties. Now, listen, oi boys, it's been a fucking honor once again, an honor, Biggie, an honor, Royals. Fucking man, listen, this has been Beers Beats and the Biz for another week. Shouts to Gus, shouts to Mesk on the cameras. Man, short, nice, concise. Bam, we in. We out and support this music always. Once again, we're out of here.
Peace.